We give you a word of welcome today to our morning worship service. It's good that you're here, and especially as we want to recognize and remember the Remembrance Day and the sacrifice that was made by those who have served in various wars, representing our nation. And the very fact that we are here today and we enjoy a measure of freedom, liberty we have to worship God, is on account of the sovereign purposes of our Lord and how He has given to us this land, but not to forget the great cost that many have made. We're going to take a moment now and recognize and honor in remembrance. And so if you are able, I invite you to stand with me as we hear the last post. And then after that, there will be a time of silence and then the reveille. Father, as we mark this time today, we reflect solemnly and from our hearts those that have gone before us and have given their life, those that have in the youthfulness of their days, had their life taken from them. And we ask, dear God, today that we would not be unmindful. We would not forget, Lord, because your word calls us to remember, to give thanks, to acknowledge a debt of gratitude that we owe. Father, don't allow us to be neglectful in our thanksgiving. Father, we today offer our praise and our worship to our great God. For Lord, we know that sovereignly you have purposed and allowed all things that come to pass. Even the wrath of man will praise you. And we ask that this morning, as we have taken this short time, this time of thinking and reflecting, that it will not be lost within us, that, Lord, we will follow after the ways of truth and righteousness in our land, in our hearts. And that, Father, we would appreciate more and be responsible, Lord, to pray for those in authority set up over us politically. Help us, Lord, we pray. Overturn that which is evil and bless that which is good. Lord, hinder those who have war in their hearts and who would unleash upon civilization and humanity great devastation. We pray, Lord, that you would watch over and protect the innocents. We think today of the great devastation that is waged against the unborn. And we would ask, O God, that you would have mercy and overturn that which is evil. Lord, hear our prayers today. We remember, Lord, those that have been within our own congregation, those that have lived through war and devastation. And, O God, I pray that we will listen and learn from their testimonies, from their experiences, and that we would not think ourselves, because we have not faced war, that we should just drift through life, not giving a second thought of it. We pray today, Lord, for the persecuted church, for believers that are suffering this very moment under the threat of death by evil tyrants and wicked men. Lord, bless them, help them, support them and strengthen them in their time of struggle. Overturn dictators, we pray. O God, help us in our time to be a living witness and testimony for truth. Don't let us just be absorbed in the materialism of this world, but rather to lift up our hearts, to lift up our praise and our worship. Lord, do in us what we are unable to do because of our human weakness and our flesh. O God, be glorified in and through us, we ask. Fill us daily with the Spirit of God, that we might continue to be a witness for our Lord and Savior. And so, hear our prayers today. Lord, at this time, we are mindful of those that are grieving the loss of loved ones. We pray for Mrs. Cairns today, that you would comfort her heart. We pray for the rest of her family. Remember our sister Sandra Brown, grieving the loss of her sister. We pray for our brother Wilfie and his family as they grieve the loss of Georgina. And so, Father, these and many other situations, we're happy today to cast them all before our God, casting our burden upon Thee. For Thou hast promised, Lord, to sustain us and lift us up and carry us on. And I pray that we will have that praise from our heart, that rejoicing in our soul, as we lift up our worship to Thee, our great God and King. Lord, hear this, our prayer today. Bless us now, we ask, in Jesus' holy name. Amen. Please be seated for a moment, that you might just rest yourself for a second or two, and we will worship the Lord with a great hymn of the faith, O God, our help in ages past, our hope for years to come, our shelter from the stormy blast, and our eternal home. Again, I invite you to stand as we worship the Lord. We're going to read this morning from the book of Philippians, chapter 4. I invite you to turn in your Bibles to Philippians, chapter 4, reading from verse 6 to 9. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me do, and the God of peace shall be with you. May God bless His own precious word to our heart as we have read today. We're going to remain seated as we sing Psalm 25 to the Lord's praise at this time. Psalm 25. Welcome you all today to the house of the Lord. We're very glad that you're here today, and not only in body, in person, but we know that across the web we have folks who are joining in with us today for our service, and we're thankful that you have tuned in to be with us, and our prayer is always that the word of the Lord would be a comfort to your heart, and that you would be lifted up in the Lord Jesus Christ, and that He would be your all in all today. And that's our hope and our prayer for every one of us, that we might be thankful and rejoice, and of course, to remember and to pause to give thanks to God and to acknowledge that He is our sovereign Lord who is overruling, overseeing all things, and to acknowledge that He in His mercy does according to His perfect will in the courts of heaven at all times. So we're thankful that you're here today. This past week has been a sad one and a difficult one for us, locally in our own congregation, by the extended family members and people that we know very close to us, and also by those who, well, have been champions of the faith. I'm speaking about Dr. Alan Cairns, who this past week went home to be with the Lord. He had been in hospital for a number of weeks, suffering from COVID, and eventually he succumbed. But it's not as if in some fate that happened to him, for we trust in a sovereign God. We trust in a Lord that appoints the day of our birth, and He also appoints the day of our death, for it is appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment. And so we pray today for Mrs. Cairns. We pray for their son Frank and their daughter-in-law Whitney, and we pray that God would help and comfort them. Yesterday, there was a memorial service that was held in the Hebron Free Presbyterian Church in Ballymoney, Northern Ireland, and it was a solemn service, and it was online. It is online today, and I would encourage you to take time throughout this week, maybe this afternoon, and go and review that service. It was a Christ-exalting, God-honoring service to remember the life of Dr. Cairns. We hope tonight in the evening service to recognize and to give thanks to God in some times that we have to share and to reflect. And I've asked Dr. McClellan that he will share some of his personal remembrances of Dr. Cairns, for he was very close to him. They knew each other for most of their life, certainly in the ministry. And so I think that will be a very special and a significant time tonight. I want to play you also a clip from the funeral yesterday that was a note, some words, very heartfelt words from Dr. John Douglas, who also knew Mr. Cairns very well. And then as we consider, well, just exactly what impact that our brother has had upon this congregation here and upon my own heart and ministry, we thank God for every remembrance of him today. Let's continue to hold up our sister Sandra Brown, no relation to Wilfie Brown, by the way, but Sandra Brown, one of the seniors of our congregation here, though she has not been able to attend for many years, and now certainly because of the restrictions, not able to. But suddenly she lost a sister this past week, and the news came to her as a great shock. And so I was able to speak to her just a couple of days ago and, try to comfort her with the word of the Lord. But do remember her. And then, of course, Wilfie Brown and the loss of his wife, Georgina, and their family. The funeral was on Thursday of this past week. So it's been a heavy week for many folks and a difficult one. But nonetheless, we are thankful that we do not sorrow as others that have no hope. We sorrow, yes, but our sorrow is only temporary, only a little, for we know we shall be united again in heaven with Christ, with all our loved ones who are in the Lord, and that's our great hope today, and it is a hope that we carry with us and strengthens us through this present pilgrimage. The flowers that you see here on the front today, they're due to the kindness of Wilfie Brown and a family allowing us to have those today. Could I ask you please to remember the announcements for the rest of today and our ministry? We'll have a prayer time at 5:50 this afternoon via Zoom for those folks who cannot be in attendance, and others will be meeting downstairs. I would also encourage you to remember, please, the evening service tonight at 6:30. And then this incoming week, our prayer meeting, Wednesday evening at 7:30. It's great to see Mrs. Sushila in the service today with us. We're very happy, dear, that you're here. We've been praying for you, and pray the Lord would continue to support and strengthen you at this time of your need. Friends, let's sing again, number 3371, When Peace Like a River. And of course, this would be normally our offering hymn. And if the Lord directs you and leads you to put an offering into the work of God here, the plates are in the foyer as you leave today. When peace like a river. will stand, please, for this final verse. What a great hymn of the faith. What a great testimony for those that have gone through times of great sorrow, great upset and devastation in their life, and yet to taste and see and to know that Christ is in your heart. He is in the vessel of your life. He is the one sailing with you through every storm. And he, if he chooses not to still the storm, he is the one who will carry you through the storm. Be confident in that today, my dear friends, and rejoice in him. Well, today we have something special for you, and I trust it will be a blessing for you. If you are new to our congregation, then you will not know a man by the name of Dr. Bert Oatley Willis. He went home to be with the Lord many years ago. He served in the British Navy in World War II. He saw active duty on many different battleships. He gave testimony here in this pulpit many years ago, and I want to play you that clip of his brief testimony. And he speaks about a time when he was on a particular battleship called the Indomitable. And when he was on that and he saw great devastation, he spoke about something that was close to his heart and how he knew that the Savior was by his side and was his peace. Please listen.
Library at the end of the service, we'll be there as the opening. I was saved, of course, as most of you know, in the British Navy. I joined the British Navy when I was 15 years of age, and I was very, very religious and very, very lost. I've always thanked the Lord for His grace and mercy to me when I think of my life without Christ, and I remember it now. I know Him as my Lord and Savior. All I can do is praise and worship Him for His great condescending grace which has been upon me through the years. I went through World War II, and through those years we saw the grace of God too. I remember one afternoon standing on the flight deck of HMS Indomitable, and while I was standing there, four German Stuka bombers came down and unloaded their Stuka bombs. 200 of my shipmates were slain immediately. But I knew something. There was a verse of scripture I'd known for many years. In fact, it was the text of the group of Christians on the ship, "For He is our peace." Now I knew that verse, known it for many years, but that afternoon I knew it in the real sense of the word. In the midst of carnage and bloodshed and death, I knew He was my peace. Very thankful this morning for being able to take part in this service. I think of all the Lord has done for me. I think of the way the church was built. And I think of the way in which we have enjoyed the blessing of the Lord. I think also of the many who have been blessed through the memory of this church. And this evening, or this afternoon, I want to give my thanks to the congregation who have supported me and been with me all through the years of the existence of this testimony to the glory of God. And I ask then that you receive my thanks for your presence with me this morning. And I do pray that these books may be taken by some person, even a young person, and the Lord may touch their hearts with some of these books, and even lead them into a full-time ministry of the Word of God here in this city. Sorry, I mustn't take any more. I've been reminded of the preacher's time, and I'm thankful for this opportunity publicly to give to you my thanks for all your goodness to me. Thank you.
Well, we're so happy today that our brother is with us, and we want to present him, first of all, with a plaque, a very nice plaque with a beautiful photograph of Bert and Dorothy on it, and it says here, the Oatley Willis Theological Library. And the words we have, Bert, if you want to join me here, the words we have are the elders, board, and members of...
That service was in 2005, the best of my memory, and it had to do with the opening of a library on our second floor that we dedicated to Dr. Oatley Willis and his wife for their faithful service in our church for many years. And if you have not yet been upstairs to see that, and the plaque is outside the wall of the library, and that is a very good place to access much material and good sound theological material. But he had donated his theological library. Dr. Oatley Willis was a pastor for many, many years after he came through the Second World War. And we are thankful for the memory. Significant that today, Remembrance Day, and how that as a veteran he served faithfully for many years. And God spared his life for a service that he yet had to do, until he took him home to be with him several years ago. You will see the significance of Ephesians 2 as we read, starting at verse 1. "And you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and in sins, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he hath loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Wherefore remember that ye being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands, at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you sometimes were afar off, are made nigh, near, by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us." Let's bow, please, in prayer. Father, settle us now, we pray. Take every distracting thing from our minds. And I ask for the help of the Holy Spirit to speak the word today plainly, and that everyone here in the building and watching online will have hearing ears and understanding hearts. Lord, bless the word of God to us now. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen. Verse 14 of this second chapter of the book of Ephesians is the text that we want to take this morning, that Christ is our peace. You know, I have listened to that testimony of Dr. Oatley Willis a number of times when I spoke to him personally and when he has spoken it publicly in our church. That time when he stood on the flight deck of the HMS Indomitable. And it was during the Second World War, in the middle of bombs exploding and fire that was raging and death and carnage all around him. And I never ceased to be struck by the tangible comfort of the Word of God in the midst of chaos. And how that verse of Scripture about Christ being our peace, it is poignantly real. It is something that will grip the heart. And as many times we may read the Scripture, many times we allow it to go into our mind and then out of our mind, yet there'll be those times, believer, in your life when you will be able to have that tangible taste, that real experience of the application of God's Word to your heart in the storm of life, in the time when you have been turned upside down. Oh, I pray that will never be the case where you have to stand on the flight deck of a battleship under attack in wartime. God forbid that that should be the case. But there is much application for us today. And I pray that God will draw near to us now and help us to understand more deeply the meaning of His Word. Now, when the Apostle Paul was writing to the Ephesian Christians, he was communicating to them about something that was very much in the forefront of their mind. It was what we could say the elephant in the room. And you know that expression. Something so obvious, but no one was talking about it. Well, Paul was talking about it now. And it was the great problem of division between those who were Jews and those who were Gentiles. Because there was a great hatred and bitter despising that was going from both sides against each other. You see, in the temple, in the day of Christ and in Paul's day, there was something called the Court of the Gentiles. And the Court of the Gentiles was made or prepared for Gentiles that had converted to Judaism. They were proselytes. And so there was an allowance for them to come close to the temple, but they could not enter into the temple. In fact, signage was posted that anyone who is non-Jewish, who goes beyond this point, will do so upon the pale of their own death. It was execution. It was solemn and serious. There was no entering in. A separation between the Jew and the Gentile. And so Paul takes this illustration of that division. And he goes on to show that without the gospel, without the work of Christ on the cross, there will always be division within humanity. There will be cultural divide. There will be racial divide. There will be economic distance. And of course, there will be religious divide. The reality was that both Jew and Gentile were sinners condemned under the law of God. For Paul says that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. It didn't matter whether a person was a Jew. Yes, they'd been given the law of the Lord, but they had failed to keep the law of God in their own hearts. So they were sinners knowing the law. And then on the other hand, you had the Gentiles that did not have the law given to them by the oracle of God, but the Lord had written His law upon the heart. And so they were equally condemned before God because of what they knew within their own conscience. And so, my friend, the answer was that salvation that has never been by race, but salvation is always by the grace of God to us in our need. The answer to overcome the deep biases and the bitter division is the same for the world today. It is the gospel of Christ. It is the transforming power that changes a man from the inside out, and it gives him an entirely different perspective on life and, yes, on relationships. How I thank the Lord today for our congregation of people. Look at us. We are people from every different background across this entire globe. Look at us. We are people from different economic standings, from different nationalities, from different races, from different parts of who knows where. And the Lord has brought us all together in one place. And do you know the thing that unifies us? It is only the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ and the Spirit of God that dwells within us. That is the unifying principle. Outside of that, there would only be a band-aid patch over a wound that continues to not heal in the relationships within humanity. See, my friend, when the gospel came in and the life is transformed, the middle wall of partition, which is what that division was called at the temple, the Gentiles on one side, those who were the Jews on the other. But Paul is now saying this middle wall of partition, it is no longer there in the gospel. Why? Because Christ has torn it down. It is gone. It no longer exists. So that Paul will say, there is no longer Jew or Greek or Jew or Gentile. No longer bondman or free man. No longer male or female. And what did he mean by all that? He meant that when God looks down upon us, he sees us as being justified freely by the grace of God through the merit and the work of Christ on the cross. And that is what unifies us in spirit and one with another today. Oh, we are still different, all right. There's still male and female today. There are still different nationalities today. We are all different in many respects. But on justification, God looks down upon every saved soul as we are exactly the same. There is no distinction. Doesn't matter how important a person thinks they are. Doesn't matter how much money they have. Before the Lord, we're all the same. Because he sees us through the righteousness of our Lord Jesus Christ. And thank God today, we're all part of the same family. We have the same Heavenly Father. We have the same elder brother, our Lord Jesus. This is not, friend, just freedom and unity, but it is the type of change that makes arch enemies brothers and friends. I remember hearing the account of a man who is a minister now in one of our churches overseas, and he spent some time in prison because of his involvement in paramilitary activity. A number of years he spent in prison. And in his testimony, one of the things he said was, after he got saved, and he realized and saw firsthand the power of the gospel, because between the Protestant provisional military activity and the Irish Republican Army, there was a vast distinction, the IRA, and those who were on the other side of Protestants. And in the prison they were, both of them oftentimes for their wicked work. But when the Lord saved a Roman Catholic IRA man, and he saved someone from the Protestant paramilitary side, these two men at pole opposites were able to come together and sit down at the same lunch table. And they were able to have fellowship at the same place, whereas outside they would have cut each other's throat in a moment. That's the power of the gospel. It changes people and it gives a different reflection upon all kinds of life situations. It will create within us a love one for another, because we are serving a united cause. We are serving the living and the true God. My friends, this is the backdrop and the context of these very precious words that we have in our text today. Because Christ Jesus, He is our peace. And I pray that as we think about that for a few moments today, this will calm our fears. Do you have fears today? Yes, everybody does. A lot of uncertainty, a lot of agitation, things going on. It will still our hearts, and it will equip us to face the storm of attack that may be upon the Church of Christ at any moment, at any time of the day. Let us therefore dwell upon this great truth that Jesus is our peace. Please notice in the first place, this is the great need of the human heart, because there is no peace with God, there's no peace among humanity, and there's no peace within himself, man. So the great need of the human heart, it stems from the fact that there is no peace with God. This was at the root, you know, of the hatred between the Jew and the Gentile. Man, who was created in the image of God in the garden, and man who walked in unbroken fellowship with the Lord at that time, he had communion with the Lord. Adam walked with God. And there was no resistance. There was no hindrance. There was no obstacle. But instantly he enjoyed that sweet and blessed and holy and peaceful communion and unity with his heavenly Father. But then Adam sinned. And that sweetness that he enjoyed every day as he walked with God was now broken. It was now shattered in 1,000,000,000 pieces that could not be put back together again by anything that man would do. He was lost. And man was lost. Because at that moment when man sinned, he died before God. He died spiritually. And the process of death began in his body, and so he began to die physically. And eternal death was the ultimate outcome of all that for man. He was lost now before God. And my friend, he had no longer any peace in his heart with the Lord. Because instead of the peace with his Creator, there was now hatred against God. Rebellion, rejection of his commandments. And you know what now filled the heart of Adam and every man after that? Was a heart filled with pride. And that pride, and it was such contempt of truth that he confidently would now stand and say, I will do it my way. I will establish my own righteousness before God. I don't need what the Lord says. I'll do it myself on my terms. And is that not exactly what every human being says today outside of the Lord? In one way or another, whether they think they're attached to some religion, if you tell a person you need to be saved, they will say, I don't need that. I will do this myself. Mr. Ole Willis said in longer part of his testimony, when he went into one of the church meetings on the ship before he was saved, he sat at the back and he was just listening. And then one of the guys said, after he had spoken, came up to him at the end and says, friend, are you a Christian? Are you born again? And he was greatly offended. What do you mean, asking me if I'm a Christian? He was brought up in the Anglican Church. He was one of those boys who waved holy smoke in the Anglican Church. He did all that stuff. He was, if anyone was a Christian, he was. And in his heart was filled with pride. How dare you ask me the question if I'm right with God or not? Because that's what's in the heart of every single person. There is ultimately a hatred against God. There is an enmity, a despising of the word of the Lord, and a contempt for everything that is true and right. And what God says he requires for salvation, man says, no, I'm doing this my way. And if you go back and look at Cain, as he offered his fruit of the ground to God, and the Lord said, I reject that, because you have not come by the way I commanded you to come, by the offering of a blood sacrifice. And you know what Cain did? Cain brought out the ultimate enmity and hatred against God, against his own brother, and he killed his brother. Because his brother was righteous, and his brother had obeyed and offered to God exactly what the Lord had commanded him to offer. And there was such animosity and despising of that in the heart of Cain that the only thing he saw to do was lift his hand against his brother and strike him dead. Yes, my friend, a man outside of God, he is not at peace with the Lord himself. And then as a result of that, he will have no peace with humanity. He will have no peace with humanity. Why is there crime today? Why does someone break into your car and steal the loose change or ransack your house if they break in? Why do people do that? Ultimately, it's because they have no peace with their fellow man. Because if they loved their neighbor, as God told us to do, you would not offend or hurt your neighbor. You would do everything you could to help them. But why is there crime? Because one man says, I want what you have and I'm going to take it because I'm bigger, stronger, or more deceptive than you are. I will take what you have. Ultimately, it's because there is no peace with God, which means there's no peace among humanity. Broken marriages, broken homes, rising divorce rates, domestic violence, and the list goes on and on and on. Because, my friend, when humanity is at war with God, it is at war with every single thing that is around him or it. Isaiah the prophet said in 57, verse 21, he said, there is no peace, saith my God, to the wicked. Wow. Could that statement not be echoed in every country, in every city, in every village across this world today? There is no peace, saith my God, to the wicked. Why? Because the wicked is like a troubled sea. It's always boiling up within him, always boiling up the agitation and the anger and the frustration and the lying and every form of lust and wickedness that goes on as a result of that. He is at war with all around him. He has no peace with God. He has no peace with humanity. And do you know what else? He has no peace within himself. Friend, if you're here today in this service, or you're watching online and you're not saved, then these qualities are real in your own heart. You're angry against God and you're rebelling against His Word. And that anger spills over into your dysfunctionality with human beings and other people who are your neighbors and your friends and your workmates. Ah, yes, I know that many people can sort of get along with folks and they do their best. When you scratch the surface a little bit, peel off a layer or two, you will find that bias and that hatred, it runs very deep within the heart of human beings. And as a result of this, it's because there is no peace within yourself. When a person doesn't have a relationship with God, when they don't possess that peace that the Lord gives and offers, they will not have peace within themselves either. And so you see the indication and the evidence of anger and of pride and bitterness and remorse, of tormenting thoughts, of people who think of suicide as their only answer and solution to world's issues. And again, the list, my dear friends, goes on. You know why? Because man that is without God is on a downhill road to a lost eternity. And as Paul said to the Gentiles here, they had no hope. They were without God. There was no salvation. And at the end of it, it's because there is no peace within the heart of a person outside of the Lord Jesus Christ. The hymn writer said these words, "O soul, are you weary and troubled? No light in the darkness you see. There's life for a look at the Savior, life more abundant and free. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in His wonderful face, and the things of earth, they will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and His grace. Our God is great. He is merciful. He is loving. And He has given to us the answer, friend. Yes, the need of the human heart is great. But would you please notice in the second heading today, it is only in Christ that peace can be found. It is only in Christ that peace can be found. And where will you find this peace? Where is the root of this? You have to go not very far, but to look at the cross of the Lord. Because it is by the cross that humanity will find that much and elusive peace that they are seeking. But I remind you, friend, it's not the cross itself as some religious act. It's not the cross as an emblem of Christianity in itself, not a piece of wood. But it's who died upon the cross. It's who suffered in our place. It is the sacrifice of Calvary. It's what is in view here and absolutely nothing else. So when we say that the cross is the only answer for humanity, it is referring to the Savior, the Lamb of God, who died upon that cross to make atonement. This is the only ground of our acceptance with God. And if we are accepted, then you have peace with the Lord, the Creator of the heavens and the earth. Is this good news today? I say to you, my friend, it is the greatest news that you could give to a lost world, a world that is reeling and turned upside down because of agitation. It is the presenting of our Lord Jesus in all His fullness, in all of His risen glory and power. It's the hope, and it comes through the blood that He shed, His own precious blood upon the cross. You know, the ground of our acceptance with God, it must always and only be upon the merit of our Lord Jesus and the once-for-all sacrifice and nothing more. And I emphasize the idea of nothing more because we are all prone to try to put in our little 2 cents worth. And you know, we say, well, yes, Jesus died for me and I'll take what He has done for me in the cross, but surely I must contribute something else myself. And my friend, if you think you can add anything to the perfect, complete, all-satisfactory sacrifice of our Savior, then you are mistaken. And that, sadly, is the great mistake of Rome, Because what they do, they say that, yes, you must believe in Jesus, but you also must believe in the confession box, in all of the rites that come along with the church, in the priest, in the sacrifice of the Mass, and everything else that goes along with it. But no, my friend, we cannot add anything to the finished work of Jesus. And someone would say, but I feel in my heart that I am good, and I pray, and I shed tears, and I try to love my neighbor, and I want to have communion with God. And think about those four things. Praying is good. Tears of repentance, they are good. Loving your neighbor is good. Communion with God is good. But none of these things can lower our acceptance with God. And so what is this ground, friend, that we're talking about? What right do we have to come into God's presence this morning? What is the basis of your peace today with God? It is nothing but the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. It is Christ alone, and He guarantees our peace with God. And any other ground, it's an imitation, it's a falsehood, it's an imposter, a counterfeit. Don't believe it, friend. Put it far from your mind and say, nothing but the blood of Jesus. That's my only argument. It's my only plea. I often say to people when witnessing to them and ask them, well, friend, if you're going to stand before the gate of heaven, why is it that God should let you in to heaven? And they begin to think and wonder, well, let me see now. I've tried to keep the commandments, and I've been fairly good to my neighbor, except maybe that neighbor. And then I've done all these other things. And a friend, I said, that's not the answer. The only answer that you can have that will give you entrance into heaven is the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth me from all sin. That's my answer. That is my argument and my plea. Listen to what Mr. Spurgeon said. Christ alone must be your peace. Beloved, it is all in vain for you, for any of us, to look back and try to find peace in what we have done. It is not doing for Christ, but Christ Himself that is our peace. For your peace does not lie either in your service or in your success, but it lies entirely in Christ Jesus, your Lord. And so, friend, we will only find peace with God by the cross of the Lord. And that we also notice, it is by faith alone in our Savior. Yes, this is the instrument. We often refer to faith, and the Catechism will say this as well, that faith is the instrument that God has chosen for us to receive His great gift of salvation. And thus peace with Him, and peace in heart and soul. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For by faith we receive. And it's through faith, that instrument that God has given to us, whereby we are saved. And it is by the power of the Holy Spirit of God. What has the Spirit of the Lord done for us? Well, friend, He has taken us out of death, and He has brought us into life. He has revealed to us the instrument of faith, and He's shown to us the Savior, whereby we lay hold upon Him. He has taken us out of darkness and into light. He has exchanged the war that was in our heart for peace. And He has taken us from despair to everlasting hope. These are things that the Lord has done for us. And so as we conclude our message this morning, this is the leading characteristic of of a true believer. You have peace with God, and therefore you will follow peace with all men. It's not until a man has this peace with God that his life will, well, it will emanate of the fragrance of the Lord in all dealings, in family, with colleagues, friends, and within yourself. When we sum all this up, all the merit of Christ is applied to us, all the value of His atoning sacrifice to pay for our sins, all the transfer of His righteousness to me, and all the value of His atoning sacrifice to pay for my sins, all the transfer is given to us, and He is our peace. Perhaps you have seen this sign that sometimes is outside on a church bulletin board. I've seen it different times in different places, and it is a true statement that if you know God, then you will know peace. But if you have no God, there will be no peace in your life. What will it be for you today, my friend? His arms are open this very moment. And the invitation that Jesus has made, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And the rest that you and I can know today is the rest of sins forgiven, the rest of joy with the Lord, the rest of being at peace with God, with our fellow man, and within ourselves. And so having that peace, we will be able to be a testimony and a light in a very dark place. I pray that God will bless His Word to our hearts today. Let's sing number 288, please. If you're watching online using one of our hymnals, 288, I hear the words of love, and I gaze upon the blood. Let's stand, please, to sing. Bow, please, for a closing word of prayer. Believer, maybe you find yourself that your love oft times is low. Your joy ebbs and flows. And it's so true that the peace that we know is ours in Christ, sometimes it it seems to escape us. Well, let's come today back to the foundation of our faith, back to the foundation of our true joy and hope and of our peace, and to rest there in the finished work of Christ on the cross. And in so doing, we will have peace and joy. Father, take this word today, your holy word, and inscribe it upon every soul. Let us rest today in this great truth. And let the world around us see the evidence of it in us, in our daily concourse, in our daily mingling. Lord, give us, we pray, the true and lasting peace that is only found in Jesus. Part us now, we pray, in thy fear, with thy rich blessing. Bring us back again to the house of prayer and praise tonight. We ask in Jesus' worthy name. Amen.